Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 112 of the Kicks and Shit Show. As Gabby so wonderfully reminded me, the Peaches and Cream episode of Kicks and Shit Show. For those of you out there who know what that is, you should get the reference. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you.
anyway,
what is happening in these streets? I blame the internet. Yes. It, you know, that
passive aggressive mug today.
that mug, you know, and that line, I blame the internet, can really be the answer to many things that go on in today's day and age. I literally blame the internet.
Yeah. It's a whole mood. That's like how I'm feeling today. And, you know, if you guys don't know 112, you're probably on the wrong network, but don't leave us because we love you anyway.
That's right. So. Gabby, you are on the East Coast in your East Coast abode. Well, I bet this morning when you woke up, you were like, what the? You're like, is it winter? Why is it below 60 outside right now?
I mean, I feel like I wear hoodies all year long, but like, I'm like, is it two pairs of pants weather yet? Like, I was not ready for the cold this morning. I like was going to go take a nice little walk on the water. You know, it's nice to be home for a bit.
I mean, you could still do that. Just, you know.
I know, but you know, I was like, I felt like it's like reverse Groundhog Day. The second that it's cold, I'm like, nah, this bitch is getting back inside. Let me tell you, I got to dust off the winter coats and leather jackets because it's coming fast and furious. I'm like, when did it get dark before 7? Like, we knew this was coming. I know it happens every year.
Every year.
But like every year, it feels like it comes up faster and faster and faster. And
so
I'm not ready for it.
I have a theory on that. It's because we get older every year. That's the main reason why we think it comes sooner and sooner. Second thing, of course, being that the Earth actually is revolving faster than it has in the past. You know, those trips around the sun are actually taking, you know, more less time. Now, it's not less in the sense that like it went from 365 days to like, you know, 12. It's not that fast, right? It's nothing that's like noticeable in like an immediate way, but it is happening, right? Along with the Earth's core like heating up to temperatures that are like insane, right? All these, this is the byproduct of, you know, advanced industrialization and globalization, late stage industrialization and globalization, right? This is kind of what happens, right? But, you know, before anything catastrophic happens, we'll all be gone anyway. So all good. Nothing to worry about there.
Happy we're starting off the show on a really positive note, you guys. I mean, I think in other positive news, Jay, I'm really happy that they have, I haven't seen Christmas decorations out yet. That's Halloween, something that also though, right? feels, oh, of course. I mean, yeah. That's something that feels like it gets earlier and earlier every year. Like, the second that the 22nd happens in August, it's like, oh, fall's here. And I'm like, wait, it's September, you guys. You're early a month. Like the pumpkin spice stuff comes out around like mid-late August.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like apple picking season.
Oh, yeah. You're already seeing the apple picking on the people's Instagram with their kids. It's we're already in the throes. It's and by the way, shouts to all of our friends with kids that do that. Lovely. Enjoy.
Absolutely. And then I love a good gram photo. I love a good apple. You know, it's my favorite time of year because all the sports are back. We have fun things in stores like Pokemon collectibles for Halloween. Yep. Trick or trade. That's right, y'all.
Oh, my gosh. So you, as consumers,
I'm an early stalker upper. Yes.
I was going to say you are participating in the early arrival by consuming it, which I'm not shading. I'm just saying. But that's fine.
100%. Fall is the one thing that I say I will completely, wholeheartedly agree. I'm not necessarily a pumpkin spice latte stan. I know I've said that before, but like that apple crisp latte, let me tell you, that shit hits different. And fall is like the best time of year because, as we know for New Yorkers, I love when those memes circulate, and they circulate every year about the calendar. It's like hot as hell, summer one, summer two. Secret fall day, freezing Brick. Cold day in the middle. Yep. Indian summer, summer three, summer five. And then it's like, just kidding, we're back to really hot day, rainy interlude. And now we're at summer three. And now we are officially heading into fall. It's a beautiful time of year in the city. All the sports are coming back.
Yeah.
You know, we have championships for those that are wrapping up. It's just a beautiful time.
Baseball playoffs will be here very soon. The Yankees and Mets both clinching playoff spots, both leading their respective divisions as of the date of this podcast that we're recording. So, you know, the potential for a Subway World Series part deux could happen again. So I know New Yorkers are looking forward to that. NBA training camps open next week. You know, media days will be on Monday. There's just everything. College football's in its swing. Week three already here. NFL week three or week four for college football. NFL is here week three. Listen, it's exciting times. And if those of you that are into sports, this calendar also now, Gabby, it's interesting. So from a sports standpoint, we'll stay there. Normally World Cup happens in the summer. But this year World Cup will be in December. You know, COVID delayed, and also it's in Qatar, which happens to be a extremely hot destination. So December, a bit of a better time for that than the middle of summer. Nike unveiled the U.S. men's national team kit.
Tell me how you really feel, Jay.
You know, look, I love a good soccer kit. I love, you know, when Nike likes to push creative boundaries and all that. You know, maybe call me old and like old fashioned when it comes to certain types of sporting events like the World Cup, which is only every 4 years. I love when the kits and uniforms are classic looks. You know, and you could always update it, right? Like over time, like maybe you add like a trophy for the amount that you've won or whatever. Again, you do little details that like, well, I mean, not for U.S. men's, obviously, but for other countries, right? Like you do, respectfully, you do whatever to like, you know, to show the updates over time. But the U.S. men's kit this year, the top, the jersey is tie-dye. And in general, like I like tie-dye. It still gives you the vibe of summer camp. Whenever you see it, right? Because it's just sort of like the random chaos of the pink spots. And I will say, on this actual image, like it is much more controlled than that. It doesn't literally look like a 4-year-old did it, but it kind of still gives you that vibe. So for me, I will not be copying a men's U.S. World Cup kit this year. But, you know, kudos to Nike for pushing the boundaries. What did you think when you saw it?
I like it. I mean, I agree. I think, like, to me, it's a classic look in the same way that, like, I imagine, like, starting with the dream team, that our Olympic U.S. team is going to have a certain aesthetic. In the same way that every time, and I know we talked a lot last week with Alexis about the U.S. Open, when Ralph Lauren drops that polo fit, you're kind of, it's like that that balance between going a little too edgy, but also still being respectful and a nod to the history, mm-hmm, to tradition. Mm-hmm. And I think, mm-hmm, you know, your girl loves a tie-dye. I don't know if this is necessarily the place for it. I think it would be cool if it was like a warm-up with that tie-dye, mm-hmm, that goes over the kids. Like, mm-hmm, to me, that's baller. Because I agree with you. I think Nike did a really beautiful job of balancing out the colors. Mm-hmm. It was a very purposeful tie-dye.
Red, so
it
white, like blue, took of away,
of course. But it was very purposefully done in the design versus it just feeling as summer campy. I don't think it necessarily feels summer campy, but I do think, like, you know, we're trying to make a splash on and off the field, no matter however we can.
Saying that the men's kit, the tie-dye, is going to be the most important thing that the men's U.S. soccer team does?
I'm not saying that, because I don't need to answer the DMs that come along with that. But I'm with you. I like the classic look. Yeah, I think, right, I'd be interested to see if how the tie-dye translates to other pieces in that collection, right? Like, is there a full, like, track pant and, like, zip-up jacket in that tie-dye? Mm-hmm. To me, that would be really
That'd
fire.
Be cool. I'd roll with that, yeah. I would definitely be down with that for the warm-up. It's just, you know, for the actual jersey, like, when you're playing, I'm like, it seems a bit disorienting, but, like, whatever. It's not, like, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, well, here's one thing for sure. We'll never confuse them with somebody else when they put those jerseys on, right? Like, I mean, there'll be other reasons why we won't be able to confuse them with any other team.
I was just going to say, Jay, you're in my head today. I feel like that's not an issue that we have in general.
Are we saying that the U.S. men are not that good at soccer? Is that what we're talking around?
I'm not saying that. I don't know if that's what you're saying, but for once, there's not a lot of words in my mouth, Jay.
That's it. You're like, I'm good. And moving on. So as we know, holiday releases will start, you know, the calendar starts populating with those. The 11, of course, is a popular one we look for every year. And I know this year, there is one that you like particularly that is coming. It is the 11, and it is in velvet, if I'm not mistaken, velvet blue for the ladies. So now, what is going to be your process, if any, to make sure you cop a pair of those?
I don't think there's any way to make sure I cop. I'm just going to say that again on record, but I appreciate the thought. And here's the thing. I think the Jordan brand over the years, you know, 11 is such like an iconic pairing for the holiday season, right? Like when you think of holiday and you think of sneakers, you think of the 11s. It usually comes in an all family run. I love that lately Jordan brand has been doing a women's pair as well. You know, I copped the animal print ones that dropped last year. Big fan of those. Mm-hmm. I think I love that there's a lot more love for the ladies in that sense. And, you know, a few years ago when we had that really like beautiful burgundy velvet 11, I love that this is like the next generation of that for me. So the navy for me, I know there's been a lot of like mixed thoughts on it. I mean, we know, who knows how legit the images are that have been leaked. You know, whether they come from the Nike offices or from China, not for me to say. But I think the idea is really beautiful. I'm very excited about that. I love me a velvet moment as well. And I love me an 11 moment. I think the 11s also typically are a little bit easier to cop. I mean, I think, you know, we've been watching the sneaker resale market and the ebbs and flows. And right now, you know, when like shopping, people are tightening their wallets a little bit, which means that resale prices have come down a little bit. I've seen some deals that I think are pretty crazy. Even the J Balvin 2s that dropped, which, you know, I'm not a 2 stan, but I really like the detail on the Balvins. And those are under 400 in my size right now, which to me says like that's how the market is right now when there's a collab that like that. Usually I would say around 500-600 for that immediately after the drop. So I'm hoping that's the same. I also, knock on wood, I think there's a lot more luck because there's a lot of full-size family runs of the 11s that come out for holiday too. So if there's a shoe to go for, I mean, that's going to be one for me. I think Nike's been and Jordan have been really playing around with the vehicles of delivering sneakers to people, whether it's on the Nike app or the sneakers app. There's been a mix of both. I think, you know, we see a lot of the Panda Dunks and more of the standard colorway restocks on Nike versus sneakers, which is a bit of a departure. So I'm curious how that's going to come into play for holiday as well.
No, I'm dead on with you there. You know, they came out this week, but on Trophy Room, they had the Jordan 1s in denim. Those look kind of cool, right? As you change for fall, I kind of like that look. I'm going to add a little bit of a deconstructed look with the swoosh and with the denim fabric. Very, very cool. Yeah. So, you know, I like when the brands start changing and adding a couple of things in there. As the weather changes, so too do how we look at some of the sneakers. So that's dope. Concepts today, the day that we're recording this podcast, and it is a Friday, September 23rd, the New Balance 9060s came out today in indigo and in work. What is it? Workwear? They call it work something. Hold on. Let me look it up. Workwear. Yeah. So it's kind of like a rusty brownish orange kind of color, and indigo, of course, blue, like kind of like a denim-y blue. The indigo sold out already. And it still works, right? Because that's, you know, but although I don't mind the workwear color. I think that's fine. You put you style that with the right outfit. I think that's dope. I like New Balance the 9060. Of course, the 9060 sort of pays homage to the 998. You know, which is sort of an old staple of New Balance, an older staple of New Balance. Yeah, I like what New Balance is doing. You know, I love most things concepts that Concepts has. They do really, really cool things. So that's a nice pair that if you want that workwear available, you can cop for $150. Very affordable. So yeah, look out for that, folks.
I like that. And I think, you know, I agree with you. Concepts has been doing some dope stuff. And I think even just from a user experience perspective, like they put it all out there. They're like, great, if you're entering a raffle and have to answer a trivia question, here's the 10 minutes that you have to do it. Here's how many people ended up entering. So you kind of know what you're up against, which I actually really appreciate that transparency. Mm-hmm. I think not just their collabs are dope, but like, again, you know, the notifications come through a brand that I like from more of like a streetwear standpoint. And, you know, I love basketball and tennis. So mm-hmm. when Market dropped their US Open collab mm-hmm. and they did a second run of some of the pieces that I missed out on their site on Concepts, I was like, those apps that have straight to cart, double click the side on your Apple Pay and you rock it out. Like to me, you've made a customer of me, a loyal customer for a while. So
I like it.
I like that experience. I think, you know, I agree. We're shifting to the fall colors. It's great to see. Jarrod, I'd love to know what's on your feet, what you're kind of brushing off the desk a little bit, switching from lows to highs. Well, we're inside right now. So I know there is, I mean, you know, I rock slides when I'm in my house. But yeah.
We are. So, okay. So put back on my feet. So I was still, the other day I was outside, yesterday, actually, last night. I had my Puma blue suede lows on still. It was quite chilly last night. You know, the blue low suedes, I feel like I can still rock through fall.
100%. That's a good transitional pair. Absolutely.
The Stan Smiths, even though they're white, I still feel like I can rock those a little. I'm probably putting those away. My lighter color sort of rainbow summery Jordan 1 lows, those joints are away because it's fall now. We're now moving back into mid-high territory. Threes. You know, I love the Mocha threes. Those are a lovely pair. I mean, any pair of three really are just very comfortable. So that's what I'm back on. The cool grays, cement red, cement black. You know, I'm still out there looking for those, Oregon exclusive PEs. Shout out to, you know, who, what's up, man? Hit me.
Break. Making sure, you know, the mic is on. Yeah, I'm with you. And I think, you know, I've become, now that there's so many different styles and colors of sneakers out there and like some of our favorite silhouettes, I feel like I've taken my mom's shopping habits of like, oh, buy your winter coat in the off season because it'll be cheaper. I kind of did that. I've been eyeing the cool gray 11s that I like slept on a little bit. I was like, you know, I don't need these. I'm taking a break from sneakers. I do this shit all the time, Jay, where I'm like, nah, I don't need it. And then I'm like, why do I not know myself? Of course I need it. So I had to go back and get those. And I'm like, you know what? The price is a little bit more reasonable. I got them in Vegas at Urban Necessities when I was there a couple months ago. You know, it's less sought after during those seasons. So I love watching like the seasons changing. And, you know, I was part of this conversation yesterday when we were talking about on Twitter Spaces, you know, and Jeff Staple was talking a lot about how the shoe contact before eye contact happens. And he's like, I don't necessarily remember faces, but I remember people by their shoes. And they're like, oh, that was the guy that was rocking those cactus plants or the Concepts, Air Max Ones, you know? And I think shoes are such a big statement that I love that there's so many options out there now, but I also like that there's more accessibility. I mean, I think like the hype stuff that looks really cool, the Ama Menier 4s that I've seen teaser images for. I love a 4, you know, that is my favorite silhouette. So very excited to see if I can try to get my hands on those maybe, but that's to me, like, I think the older I get, the more I want to tailor my collection, right? It's either like focusing on my favorite shoes and silhouettes or I love a Knicks blue, a Royal blue. We don't need to make this a conversation about the Knicks. So we're going to move on from that real quick. But I've been building in like Royal sneakers and I've seen some like, they're fakes, but like images of like, if the patent breads came out in patent Royal, your girl would be all over that shit.
That would I'm with you on that. You know, it's funny talking about releases. So Yeezy Slides, the resins, those will be out tomorrow, Saturday. I know people are anxious about those.
Obviously, coming back.
Been a lot of news about Kanye and Adidas. We talked about it two episodes ago and what's going on there. By the way, did you see the the video of Kanye? He's being interviewed and he said, Sway has the answer.
That was the greatest quote ever. And so he's sitting there like,
I love it.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
So shout outs to our friends at the Dirt Label because they already have a t-shirt out with Kanye's head on it says Sway has the answers. And I mean, first of all, that rant by Kanye on Sway's morning show, like, how Sway, you don't got the answers. Like, all, and then now,
oh boy, you know, Jay,
it's,
I like that. That was up there with my Uncut Gems.
I might have seen that interview once or twice. For Kanye to be like, you know what? I'm going to say that Sway had the answers. It's, I mean, you know, what a pop culture moment, right? And everyone like finding a way to like, you know, take advantage of it, whether it be a meme, a t-shirt, whatever. Like, this is the part where I enjoy the internet and what it does.
Instead
right?
of because, just blaming the internet.
Yes. This is the part where I enjoy the internet. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's funny. I got you. Like, this is good. And everybody can share a good laugh about it. But, you know, I thought that was classic Kanye. That was so good.
I mean, the Ye stuff is wild. And like, we kind of teased about this and we knew it was heading this way about like the parameters that are going to be happening with everything in it, with Adidas and Yeezy and Gap. And it's like, that's how we go. I feel like the other side of this mug should say the internet always wins. Mm-hmm, like I need like a duality type situation. So like depending on the mood, right?
No doubt. Oh,
because that's what makes its way around so quickly. You know, it's wild.
You know what came out this weekend? You know, folks, we don't talk about like every release that comes out because it's not like what we do here. And you know, we record. A little behind the curtain. We record before the show actually drops for all of you, right? So stuff happens in between.
Spoilers.
I know, spoiler alert. but as an Air Max fan, I didn't text you this week to ask you about it. What did you think about the Comme des Grâces Air Max 97s? Were you a fan or were you like, meh, they're all right? I thought they were fine.
I mean, they were fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with them. And I feel fine. Like such a bougie bitch by saying that, they're great. But this is also my own perspective, right? I think these brands, there are so many collabs and so much heat dropping that not everything can be the favorite, right? And I like the detail that comes on the CDG silhouettes in general, right? Even with the foams, like I'm not really a foam girl. I have my Halloween foams that I rock every October 31st that I will be rocking again this year, you know?
What are you going to be for Halloween this year? Or is it a secret?
I don't know yet. I actually have football tickets. For the Bears Cowboys game, so I'll be in Texas.
Bears.
I don't know if my pumpkin costume will fit with an airplane seatbelt on my flight home, but we'll see.
Maybe you should be Dicka for Halloween.
I mean, that's kind of amazing. I think, like, you know, me with a little stash situation. Yeah, I've got some aviators. I can rock that. Get an ugly Christmas sweater. That might have to be the move, and wear that to the game.
Dicka.
All right, I like where your head's at.
And the Hurricane's name is Dicka. No, sorry. That's an SNL reference.
I was going to say, for the SNL stands, you know, I appreciate that. I'm hoping nothing happens to SNL, though. And I know, like, this is the and shit part of the show. But all this conversation, I mean, I think for the young folks out there, you know, I think SNL has become such a cultural phenomenon over the past, 25 plus years. But now it's become like social media clips and snippets that get shared around, but that still gets shared around. Gets shared around. There's still a viral ability, and it is such a great launchpad for so many creatives and comedians and writers and actors that, like, I'm hoping that we continue on this wave. I think maybe if they want to shake things up, but I don't know. I'm hoping that the news stays positive around what's happening. For those who don't know, there's been talks about a potential SNL.
It is a long running show where I think it's 30 something. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yes.
And it goes through, like any show, peaks and valleys, right? There was a high water mark when you had Eddie Murphy, Sandler, like, I mean, literally every hilarious person was on there.
Steve Martin, Chris Farley, right? I mean, Will Ferrell.
Even before that, right? Like, it's just
John Belushi.
I mean, in the 70s, like, it's just, it goes on and on. In early 80s, like, and then, you know, it kind of dips and then back, and then, you know, the long run Keenan was on SNL, and, like, you know, you have that, right? I wonder, as the climate changes and comedy changes, right? And, like, this is not getting into a political show, but, like, you know, comedy was one of the last sort of, like, bastions of quote unquote free speech. And again, like, I'm not, whatever, this is not a diatribe about any of that stuff, but in today's culture, right, like, you jokes that may have been funny 10 years ago, 5 years ago, are not funny now, right? Like, much less 20 years ago or 25 years ago. And, you know, the guys under comedy was always, well, if I'm making fun of everybody, why does it matter, right? That was always the, you know, and then the idea was, well, you know, maybe you should be not making fun of anyone, like, be smarter about your jokes, like, find jokes that aren't about, but, like, what makes comedy relatable is the human condition, right? Like, and so so it'll be interesting to see what SNL ultimately does. I know Megan Thee Stallion will be hosting an upcoming episode. Shout out to Didier Moraes, one of our guests from about a couple months ago, the CEO of Vital Versatility. He is McVeigh-Sallion is one of his clients. So shout out to him. That's a huge get. You know, TDA's got a lot of big time clients, you know, Fat Joe, McVeigh-Sallion. I mean, we're talking heavy hitters out here in these entertainment streets. But yeah, so look, you go on there, you do the thing, and it works. I think it's also still a good platform for people to come on and like show a different side of them. You know, I remember an episode last year where Kim Kardashian was the host.
I was like, Jay's going to talk about either Elon Musk or Kim Kardashian. It's going to be one of those two.
Yeah, no, Elon, we're with Elon Musk. So fair. Kim Kardashian, like, is I don't watch any of those shows. Like, I don't, you know, she's not like to me. You know, I know some people, it's like they know everything about her whole life and her family's life. I know about Kanye connection. That's it. Like, I don't, you're right. And of course, the Ray J tape. Of course, everybody knows about that. But but other than that, I don't know anything else about her. Right. And I remember watching her monologue and I was like, fine, I get it. Like, people help you write it, whatever. That shit was funny. Like, and she was able to deliver it with the right timing and pace. And again, she made it self-deprecating, which is always, if this is your, like, that's what you do. Like, you have to turn it on yourself because then it, like, it lets everyone's guard down. And it's like, oh, she's making fun of herself. It's fine. Right? Like,
it's like everybody's in on the joke. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it. Right? And like, you know me, I'm a Giants fan. I'm an Eli Manning ride or die. I don't care what anybody says. But that to me, like, I mean, I feel like there was always a lot of jokes around Eli because he sometimes makes silly faces. There was even a whole video and Funny or Die sketch about it with a girl who I went to
Eli,
high school
Eli Manning face. Yep.
Yep. Shouts to Lisa Kleinman from high school for rocking it out and crushing that video. I see you, girl. But I think like that was where, you know, Peyton was always known as the funny one. But when Eli came on, I mean, he crushed that episode. Yeah. I think that helped open doors for even someone like him, like where he's got like the college undercover with like his Chad
Powers.
Which has been hilarious to watch. It's, you know, it's created like a persona around him and Peyton together for like Monday Night Football and all these other programs. Like, and like shows like that, shows like SNL, shows like Hot Ones really like humanize some of our favorite people. Like on my flight back a couple weeks ago, I was watching Shaq's episode again, because thank you for United for never deleting that episode, because
too funny.
Watching him not make a face is worth rewatching it every time. And it's like, that's where, you know, these shows and like NBA and TNT is what, how many Emmys now? Like that's bazillion. Where it kind of launches those types of things. Yeah, you get to see these characters and these people that you're very used to in a certain role, like a Kim Kardashian, who's known to be kind of like hot, but boring, you know? And at the end of the day, there's writers on Saturday Night Live, but she's the one that has to nail that timing.
Right. Yep. No doubt.
And
no
you
doubt.
Know when they don't nail that timing.
That shit's awkward.
And sometimes you know when they really do, because everybody starts giggling and breaking character. And, you know, that to me is what's so fun about it, is to see people kind of out of their element.
Yeah.
Kind of doing their thing. I don't know. You know, that's my vibe with everything in life. Yeah.
Well,
try new things, folks.
I think that there is enough sadness in the world. Right. So it's nice to have opportunities for fun. Now, with that being said, every scenario, and this is where I go back to, I blame the internet. Every scenario is not to be made fun of and something for jokes and right. Like that's, and it's discernment, right? It's just knowing how to discern those things, right? If Kim Kardashian is going to get on SNL and joke about, so, you know, I was married to this guy, you might've heard, like if she's going to joke about it, fine, funny, right? We can all laugh, right? But for serious things that like, it's clearly not an opportunity for that, you know, all right, internet, let's just be better. Everyone's not hilarious on Twitter. That's also one of my things. And it's not like, I want to sound like a grandpa right now, but like,
go ahead, go off.
Everyone, it's just so, every time something happens on like a major event, everyone goes on Twitter and fires off their take and thinks they're so clever and so funny. And I'm like, that is the same take that 1,000 other people literally just fired off the same time as you did. Like, you're not funny, right? Like, it's just not. Like, you're not original. Like, you're not right. Like, no, like, you are not. Now, there are genuinely hilarious people on Twitter. Shout out to our guy Josiah, right? Like, there are people who, like, oh no, that Josiah is.
I'm kidding. Josiah is a legend on Twitter. Completely agree.
I mean, the meme selection every time is perfect. Like, there's some people who, they get it. Like, you ain't that funny, right? And it's okay for you not to be that funny. Like, it's fine. I'm sure you're good at something else. Find out what that is. Stop trying to think you're some hilarious comedian on Twitter. Okay, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I appreciate that. I mean, I don't tweet enough to be that funny on Twitter, but no, it's a special skill and it's a special art. And for those who think they're real funny and maybe there aren't, it's okay. You could be funny in real life.
Yeah,
it's
no fine. Doubt. No doubt.
But yeah, the Twitter chats, what's trending on Twitter. I mean, it is wild what gets picked up, but I will say it is an art form. Like the TikTokers, the content creators, you know, I'm going to like pour one out for them because I don't think people realize how much goes
what are you behind pouring out? That NyQuil? Creation. Are you pouring out NyQuil for the TikTokers?
Some scissor? Yeah, no. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, like, they deserve a shout.
Like, the fact that the FDA had to be like, folks, it's not a good idea to put NyQuil on raw chicken. It's like,
I mean, the raw chicken and the NyQuil thing. I will say, though, like the internet is so responsive to that point, like with everything going on with Adam Levine. Like, yeah. I don't know if you saw the Duolingo comments and rebuttal with like the logo. I'll share it on our social. I'll text you after, Jay. But like, I don't know how, like, as a brand, they got that put through. But I was like, "Woo, we are all talking about that today." Duolingo, like Gritty, NHL Gritty is another great follow that are like cultural phenomenons that are in any other country would be super fucking weird, but in America, it just makes sense.
Well, it's funny you mention that.
It takes a lot that goes into that. Yeah,
it's funny you mention that, Gabby, because, as you know, as someone who works in that field and as do I, or, you know, and I consult there and do different things, we're always talking about clients and their social and like, wow, why social is important, right? But here's the thing, right? And we always talk about, okay, you want to be, of course, put out your messaging and all that, but you want to be topical, right? And you want to try, where applicable, to jump on trends on social, right? With a unique spin or whatever. But what do you do though when every like thing that's trending on social that's hilarious or funny is something all so far askew left of what it is that your brand does, right? And I feel like that is what trends on social now. Yep. It's often things that probably don't fit with like an investment bank, for instance, right? Or like, you know, something that's a little more.
That's
like
the stuff that cuts through, right? Because you're like, what's going on here? I'm going to send this to you though. But I do think like, I love when brands get a little bit caught up in pop culture because sometimes it just makes sense and it feels so organic. And brands that can get so responsive and move so quickly, you know, a lot of us and a lot of who listen to this show understand what that actually takes.
Yeah,
it's a village to get out a tweet, to get out an image, to get out, you know, how do we get in the corn song before it's oversaturated on TikTok? Like things like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a wild place.
It is. It's just so fascinating how that is the driver so much of the social media currency and how brands, you know, they're so tuned in and tapped into that, right? And how important it is to be tuned in and tapped into that. You know, it's a different world out there from what it was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? Like, you know, social media is such an important part. And if you, again, to that point, can be in a part of that pop culture conversation in a way that authentically reflects your brand, right? It's brilliant. I saw something and it wasn't like a big thing, but Taylor Rooks, who's a sideline reporter for Thursday Night Football on Amazon, she posted a picture of herself finishing the game on Thursday night. And it was like, you know, her taking out her headpiece and all that, you know, a long day. For those of you that don't know, when you work the broadcast of an NFL game or an NBA game or any game, you don't show up at kickoff. Like you're there for multiple hours before prepping,
hours
whatever.
And hours. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then like you're there often after. Right. So you see her like taking out her headpiece. It's like, you know, it's the end where you're like, all right, I'm exhausted. I think she added Uber Eats or something. It's like, you know, looking forward to Uber Eats or whatever. Uber Eats picked it up and it's like something said something about like when Friday hits or like something of that nature. Like that's a fun way of being like, okay, cool. Like they can take advantage of it. And I think, you know, it's smart when brands can see those opportunities and move quickly and do those kinds of things.
I totally agree, especially ones that can see like stuff that is organic and real that feels like it's supposed to be there, right? Like whether they were in on it from the upfront or not, that to me seems organic. Again, I know I keep referring to this Jeff's staple Twitter Spaces combo yesterday, but you know, we were talking about all about streetwear and he made a comment about how like streetwear got so big in part because people aren't necessarily consuming, but they're creating content by like doing like a mini haul in a fitting room, and then they don't have to actually buy things. So it's like, I think I like that now we're in a place that people are a little bit more savvy to that kind of smoke and mirror that was behind some of the social media even a couple of years ago. So like when I see something like that, like the Taylor Rooks example, I'm like, oh, that just like makes sense, whether it's paid or not. I don't really care if it's a partnership. But that is so smart with that timing, that cadence. And shouts all the people who run all the brands that do that, because
and the photo is perfect, right?
That shit ain't easy.
Even if you're not a sideline reporter, you know what that feeling is like.
You relate to it at the end of the day,
right?
Like if she were to take her bra off, I would be like, I get it.
I get
it.
Girl,
I feel you.
Right.
Same shit. Yeah.
It's wonderful. So yeah, again, this is when I'm like, okay, internet, I like you. Good job. Good job. You're doing good things. Anyway, folks, we will be back next week. Another episode. We'll get the guest train happening again. Gabby, we are going to meet in person, most likely, this weekend. That's first time in, God, how long? Over a year, I feel.
Sorry,
like.
If you know, if you could stop me in my tracks, and I had to like think back, and I'm like, let me dust the brain off a little bit like on this Friday year. That we're recording. I think it's been a year, right? Because we were at Maison Pickle.
Oh yes, Frenchie.
Maison when they Pickle. Gave me an olive with my Aperol spritz, hashtag never like, forget. You know, and it's not the first time that I had that. That happened to me recently too, and I was like, is there a memo that I'm missing? You know. Salty, bitter, I don't know.
Why not?
Not Let's for me, it. But I'd say it's been about a year, a little over a year, Jay. Long overdue.
So
I'm going to give you a hug.
Oh, boy. We'll see.
I know we're outdoor dining. That's fine. I will wear my...
I don't play that game.
Back in legging season, bike shorts.
I was going to say, hoodie season.
Got the scrunch socks. The high tops will be in full gear. You know, maybe a little beanie cinch. Maybe Jim will kind of help keep the scalp warm.
We're going to have to do a feats in the street. All right. So I was actually, I gave zero thought to what I'm putting on my feet tomorrow. So now I have to actually give it some thought.
We're not there yet. I'll give it some thought. Maybe I'll even undead stock. And I just want to say on the record, I know Gerard is a... men of the ladies.
Yes, true. It's true.
But I'm a lady of Gerard. That's all I have to say. We'll reveal what that means next week. That sounds probably way more scandalous than it was meant to.
Very scandalous.
I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down, but
I got you.
You know,
I smell what you're stepping in. Mm-hmm. I smell what you're stepping in. All right.
That's
folks,
right. That I'm wiping off with Crep Protect.
We will see you all next week. As always, we are part of the Count the Digs family. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all those things at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. Of course, check out the other shows, the Original Bomb Show, Woke Bros, Crypto Bros, Rap Names, all those shows. Definitely check them out. And until next time, everybody, take care. Peace.